To God, alone wise, be honor and glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. This morning we turn our attention to the account that immediately follows our first reading for today. We move to Acts chapter 11, beginning with the first verse as follows, reading this morning in the English Standard Version. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angels stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, sent to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel, dear fellow redeemed. As you may know, Brown versus Board of Education was a case that was brought before the Supreme Court of the United States in the year 1954. It was a test case, so called because it tested the constitutionality of laws that allowed certain public school boards to segregate schools, to dictate which schools white children and black children would attend, in effect excluding black children from certain public schools. The landmark decision was issued on May 17, 1954, in which the court ruled that indeed such laws were unconstitutional, a violation of the 14th Amendment. It was a huge step forward, needless to say, for civil rights in this country. The idea that a child could be excluded from a public school solely because of the color of his skin seems absurd to us now, and so it should. However, it was not absurd then. At that time, there were deeply held convictions on both sides of the issue. Similarly, the idea that simply on the basis of ethnicity, a person could be excluded from the Church of God seems silly to us. But it doesn't seem silly to the people in first century Jerusalem. This, to us, is a very foreign idea that, say, simply because you were Samoan or Japanese or British, you couldn't find salvation in the Christian church. Well, that was pretty much what the people in first century Jerusalem believed, only they believed even more strictly that there was only one ethnicity that could be saved, and that was the people of the Jews. Everyone else, according to their view, was excluded. But Peter stood his ground. He stood up for God's word, and he defended God's truth. He brought a sort of a test case on the subject. This morning we're privileged to listen in to that courtroom drama, and at the same time we'll test our own attitudes when it comes to the question of who qualifies for admission to God's church. Our theme today, People versus Simon Peter, a test case on discrimination in the church. We'll see the circumcision party open for the prosecution. We'll see the Apostle Peter mount a very vigorous defense. And finally, of course, God is the one who will deliver the final verdict. In our first reading this morning, we heard what happened in the house of Cornelius in Caesarea. Cornelius was a rather important man. He was a Roman centurion, and he was well known to be a friend of the Jewish nation. But he wasn't Jewish himself, and therein lay the whole problem. Peter had been sent to Cornelius to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to him and his family, his associates. Well, it seems pretty straightforward. They would believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. More believers for the church, more saved sinners to share heaven with. What's not to like? But when Peter got back to Jerusalem, he found out that the news about these Gentile converts had reached the city before him. And some of his fellow Christians, all of whom were Jewish, were not very happy about it. This clique of Christians, all of whom were Jewish, was known as the circumcision party, or they of the circumcision. Of course, they were Jewish because at that time, the only Christians in the early church were people of Jewish ethnic background. And they had a weakness. They didn't understand the concept of Christian liberty. They believed in Jesus, but they also believed that it was necessary to strictly observe all the laws of Moses, laws that had to do with foods that were prohibited, keeping the Sabbath day, and especially the strictest rule of all, that no Jew was ever supposed to associate with a Gentile or a non-Jew. They felt that Peter had done wrong by going to this Gentile family and preaching the gospel to them, and they were going to put their foot down about it. They would make this a test case, really. People versus Simon Peter. And they began their prosecution by leveling a very sharp accusation. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Again, that sounds kind of silly to us. But look at it from their perspective. For 2,000 years, 20 centuries, from the time of Abraham to the time of Jesus, the Jewish people were the people of God. They kept themselves strictly separate, just as God had commanded them to do. He had said to them in the book of Leviticus, for instance, "You shall distinguish between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean, between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten." Yes, of course, things had recently changed for those early Christians. Their Messiah had arrived. Jesus had lived and died for them, had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. Shortly thereafter, he had sent the Holy Spirit in a miraculous way on the day of Pentecost, inaugurating the New Testament Christian church. But up until this point, everyone in the church had one thing in common. They were all Jewish. Was all that supposed to change now? These people found that hard to accept. So they brought this sharp accusation. "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." They were all ganging up on Peter. It was truly people versus Simon Peter. Does this sound familiar, by the way? Doesn't that sound a lot like what the Pharisees were always criticizing Jesus for? When all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him, the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Same thing. We're the people of God. We're the righteous ones. You can't go to those others, those sinners, and associate with them. You recall Jesus' reply, however, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Do we do that, I wonder? take certain classes of people or certain ethnicities or even certain individuals and mentally kind of disqualify them for membership in the Christian church? Do we look down our noses at them and think, they're not really like us? We're good Lutherans. We're not like them. They don't belong with us. God forbid. In fact, it's good for us to remind ourselves once in a while that we ourselves are the original outsiders. After all, we're not Jewish. We're sinners of the Gentiles, just like Cornelius and his family were. In People versus Simon Peter, he's arguing our case. He's really contending on our behalf. And that sort of ups the stakes a bit, doesn't it? We're inclined to listen a little bit more carefully now that we know that it's us that the Apostle Peter is defending. Well, you'll be glad to know that Peter offered a spirited defense on our behalf. He explained it to them in order. He laid it out carefully for these people, point by point. He didn't give his opinion. He just let the facts, God's word, speak for itself. He knew he was right because he had received his information directly from God himself. We heard in our first reading this morning how he had received a vision that was given to God by Peter, or was given to Peter by God. Peter said he saw a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. That phrase, looking at it closely, really doesn't do justice to the original language. If you've ever seen a cartoon where the character's eyeballs pop out of his head, that's the meaning of the Greek verb here. Peter was shocked. Why was he so shocked at the suggestion that he take from among these animals and provide food for himself? Well, because all these animals and birds were the ceremonially unclean creatures that God in the Mosaic Law had forbidden the Jewish people to eat. And Peter had strictly kept that law of Moses. He had strictly kept kosher his entire life. In fact, truth to tell, Peter was as strict a Jew or stricter than these ones who were bringing the accusation against him. And that's why he said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But God had a message for Peter. Christ had fulfilled the law. In the New Testament church, there was no longer to be any distinction made between clean and unclean foods, and more importantly, between clean and unclean believers. What God has made clean, do not call unclean. The vision was repeated three times for emphasis so that there could not possibly be a mistake. Holiness is not determined by people, but by what God says is holy and clean. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. Note, at that very moment, it was no coincidence that those messengers from Cornelius showed up just at that second to call for Peter. Have you noticed that in your own life, by the way? How often the people whom you need to hear show up on your doorstep at just the right moment with just the right message you need. And the other way, too, how God sends you with the message of the gospel to someone else at just the moment they need to hear that message. Well, Peter traveled with the messengers from Joppa to the home of Cornelius in Caesarea, about 36 miles away. For the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. And what did he find when he got there? Well, that Cornelius had had a message from the Holy Spirit too. God had told him, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." A message by which you will be saved. What wonderful good news that is. How does a person find eternal life and obtain everlasting joy? Not by good works, not by struggling and striving, not by self-denial or becoming a monk or a hermit, but by hearing the message, by hearing the same message that you're listening to right now. the message of how God sent a Redeemer down to earth to take away the sins of sinners like us. The Savior who stepped into our shoes and kept God's law for us in all those places where we've broken it. The Savior, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who walked the road of sorrows all the way to Calvary and poured out his blood in order to cover my sins and yours. That same message you're hearing now. That's the message that the family of Cornelius listened to that day. And what happened? Not only did they believe, not only did the Holy Spirit put faith in their hearts and turn these Gentiles into Christians, but he also poured out on them the same special gift of the Holy Spirit that he had miraculously given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. You remember that? Peter says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. They received the miracle of tongues, the ability to instantly speak in a foreign language. Wouldn't that be great? It was given to them for a different reason. On Pentecost, the apostles received the gift of languages in order to preach the gospel to the people of different countries who were in Jerusalem. Here, they received that same gift only for a different reason, to underline the message God was trying to get across. In the New Testament church, there was no longer to be made any distinction between Jewish believers and believers of other nations. Peter reasoned with his accusers. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Peter couldn't stand in God's way, and neither could those accusers of his. God had delivered his final verdict. The judge had spoken once and for all, and all that remained was for all parties to receive and believe that verdict. And they did. When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." You and I are Gentiles too. And we too have heard and believed the message of Jesus Christ, the only name given under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. To us too, God's granted that same thing, the gift of repentance that leads to everlasting life. Can we now presume to stand in God's way? Can we discriminate and determine on our own who is worthy to hear the word of the gospel and who is not? Of course not. It's ridiculous. Peter and his fellow Jews weren't permitted by God to do that, and we aren't either. That is God's prerogative. And you know, in God's view, there aren't any lost causes. For with God, all things are possible. All things. That coworker of yours who seems to be so dead set against religion. That relative of yours who keeps needling you about your Christian faith. That person sitting next to you on the bus or on the airplane with multiple piercings and tattoos. You know, you might not know much about those people, but one thing you do know, they all are sinners, just like you. They all need a Savior, just like you do. Today we've learned the same lesson the Apostle Peter did. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Brown versus Board of Education. Unfortunately, that Supreme Court decision back in 1954 did not end discrimination in the United States. Far from it. Same thing in People versus Simon Peter. The fact that Peter won this argument with the circumcision party did not end discrimination against Gentiles in the early Christian church. That problem would arise again, most notably in places like Galatia, where false teachers would continue to insist that in order to be saved, you had to believe in Jesus and keep the Mosaic law. From our perspective, that seems like nonsense, and so it should. Christ has fulfilled the law for us and delivered us into a glorious freedom of the gospel. It's a freedom that's offered equally to every person across the globe of every race and ethnicity. For as Paul says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Case closed. Amen. Please rise.